I know the Jews. Yes, I do. I may be Asian American. I may have had a Buddhist upbringing, and I may primarily hang out with waspy artists. But I know the Jews. Now let me explain. Yes. Jewish people come from Jewish mothers. And Jewish mothers manipulate their children with guilt. This is a fact. No, this is an art form, actually. And some people may accuse me of perpetuating stereotypes, but I don't care because it's true. Now, Asian and Asian American kids feel a deep kinship with Jewish kids because Asian mother guilt is even more psychologically debilitating than Jewish mother guilt. Asian brother and sister, am I right? Am I correct? Yes. Most non-Asians are oblivious to the widespread presence of Asian mother guilt, but believe me when I tell you that it is a force so strong that it could crush Godzilla's nuts with its bare hands. And as Asian kids, this guilt weighs so heavy on our minds that it's really screwed up our perception of the world. For example, there is a scene in the book and movie version of The Joy Luck Club in which a woman drowns her baby boy as an act of revenge against her abusive husband and because of an apparent psychological disorder. Now, most people saw that scene as a sad cultural commentary on marriage and on mental illness. But Asian kids saw that scene as a dire warning. I brought you into this world, and I will take you out of it, no matter how cute and adorable you are. Because really, I mean, if a cute, fat Asian baby can't escape the wrath of his own mother, then I don't stand a goddamn chance. There is no point in my life where guilt has not played a major role in my relationship to my mother. Birth, childhood, adulthood, my mother has had them all covered. And I sat down and actually made a list of all the times my mother has made me feel guilty about something. And if I were to read this list to you here tonight, we would be here for hours. So instead, I have selected three highlights, which I would like to share with you now. Highlight number one. According to my mother, she had to drop out of nursing school in order to give birth to me and to raise me. Yeah, that's right. According to my mother, basically my very existence caused her to have to stop her training and become a waitress because that was a job that came with the promise of much needed immediate cash. And eventually waiting tables became her life's work. And even now, today, she is still serving burgers and filling up ketchup bottles in a small cafe in Southern California. And she takes every opportunity that she can to remind me that this, of course, is all my fault. Now, my earliest memory of my mother passing along this information to me was back when I was a fetus, actually. There I was, minding my own business, splashing around in amniotic fluid, when my mother glared down at her big belly and she declared, "You ruined my dreams." Highlight number two. My mother would repeat this story on random occasions throughout my childhood. She would say, quote, "When I was single and had a dollar, I would spend that dollar on myself. After I got married, I would spend 50 cents on me and 50 cents on your father. After you were born, I could only spend 33 cents on myself. And after your sister was born, I was left with just a quarter." Now, she never explained the purpose of telling me this story over and over again, but I picked up on this recurring theme of self-sacrifice, my mother, the modern-day martyr, and me, the selfish son who made it all necessary. And I actually, when I think about it, I actually do think that my mom secretly wishes to be given a large wooden cross just so she would have the opportunity to nail herself to it. I really do think that she secretly wants to die for my sins so that I would live in perpetual fear of her resurrection. It's really not the most pleasant way to live your life. Highlight number three. I came out to my family in a letter that circulated to my sister, then to my mother, and then into the garbage can. The letter never made its way to my father like it was supposed to. And when I called my mother up to talk to her about the letter and about how it affected the rest of the family, she didn't want to have a conversation about any of that stuff. All she wanted to know was whether I was, quote, the husband or the wife, unquote. And before she was in a place to have a civilized discussion about my being gay, my father suffered a massive stroke which paralyzed the entire right side of his body and permanently damaged his speech. And I think it was that medical crisis that prompted my mother to forge a stronger bond with me and to finally accept me for who I was. But this new embrace of my true identity came with one caveat. You cannot tell your father that you're gay. His health is very bad. He is very weak. And if you tell him the truth, you will kill him. On my visits home, I would watch my father struggle to eat with his left hand. I would listen to him spew gibberish in an effort to communicate. And I would feel that if I did indeed say the wrong words, I would in fact cause my own father to die. So, years have passed. Although my father's condition has improved somewhat, gibberish is pretty much his only language, and his sense of reality seems to fluctuate. And neither my mother nor I have used words to convey the explicit truth about who I am to my father after all this time, even still. But there is a growing body of evidence that suggests that my father is more perceptive than we think. He sort of kind of drops these little hints, and I think the culmination of all these little hints was a few months ago when he presented, for no good reason, he presented me with a stack of movie ticket stubs that he had saved. And conveniently, on top of the stack was the ticket stub for Brokeback Mountain. That is true, and probably the creepiest moment of my life. That part of my life, I just never really kind of talk about with my father. But I think he knows. And I think even if he dies years from now, peacefully, I think there's going to always be a part of me that will search for all the things that I said and did that may have contributed to his death. And that's something that I'm going to have to learn to live with. On occasion, my mother will bemoan the fact that I'm gay. And I will immediately look her in the eye and say, "You made me this way." And that is usually enough to shut her up and shut her up good. After all, I learn from the best. Thank you.